Roll up, roll up. Ho, 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 ho.
That's the best Santa impression that I can do. How's your ho, ho, ho in, Anna?
I'm hoeing really well right now, actually.
There's so many places that could go. Right.
The gardening I'm in.
What? Hoeing the garden. Okay. Do you know what, guys? I know it's November, but brace yourself. We've got a cup of coffee with us, I think it's time that for 1 week only, you forgive us for not playing the ukuleles. Instead, I believe it is more suitable to play this. Yes, people, this is an episode about Christmas because the countdown is on. How excited are you for Christmas, Anna?
I started playing Christmas in July. That's how much I like Christmas.
See, last episode she said January. She's a fraud. She's a fraudster. Right, we're talking Christmas strategies, people, thanks to a brilliant email sent in by Michelle. Enjoy the sprinkle of Christmasness and the music in your ears for a little longer, and we'll be back as we slurp our steaming coffee. Right, what have you actually gone for then? What is your tactic, Anna? How did you get...
I went medium black Americano with two little milk measures of hot milk, which were actually 50 mils each. Super, super boring, but super kept me on track because you and I, when we walked in here and we looked at that glass box, we nearly licked it, didn't we?
The problem is, like, coffee shops for me are a danger zone. Yeah, there is no doubt about it. But it's really interesting because in group this week, you know, consultants are starting like the kind of the Christmas build up, aren't they? And although it's November, they're kind of sharing tips about how to make swaps in coffee shops, you know, looking at tipping points, that kind of thing. So we thought, well, why don't we revel in that and sit down in the warm and dry and have a coffee as we discuss these Christmas strategies?
Yeah, because you said to me when we came in, what do you want? And I said, what I want and what I'm going to have are two totally different things. I wanted a large hot chocolate with whipped cream, marshmallows and a flake, but my weight loss called for that. But you were very good, weren't you?
Yeah, well, do you know what, I've kind of just started to rethink coffee shops. I know we're going to kind of get into tips. I went on Lifeline online a couple of weeks ago and realized that for me coffee shops are one of those trip up places. You know, I suppose I don't drink anymore, so going to the pub is a different thing. I know how many sins I'm going to have, or I can have a Diet Coke, which can be sin-free. But coffee shops, murky ground. And because I'm vegan and dairy-free, a lot of the milks that are in coffee shops cannot be classed as healthy extras. So I've decided to, instead of kidding myself, saying, oh yeah, that bit of oat milk, that can be kind of a healthy extra, I'm just going to sin my drinks whenever I go to a coffee shop. And I looked up, I've had a coconut flat white here, and it's four sins.
And how frothy did they get your milk?
Seriously frothy, with a lovely leaf on top.
Lovely leaf.
I mean, that's something that you cannot do at home.
No, you can't. But I think the thing that you did was you checked it while you were in the queue, so we actually knew what was going on.
How many of us will stumble into Christmas hoping, and like we often say, hope is not a strategy.
No.
We hope that we're going to come out the other side about the same, or maybe even more, right, lighter.
Yeah.
And we just hope, and there is no plan in place.
No.
I think I have definitely done Slimmerboard long enough that I've done hoping, I've done really keeping the corset tight, and I've kind of done a bit of winging it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Praying a lot.
Praying.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Like, please, baby Jesus. Please, baby Jesus.
It's Christmas. Help me out here. You know the thing that gets me at coffee shops? The speciality cups come out. They've just come out, and that signifies that whole host of new Christmas drinks. And for me, they spell disaster. Because I think the thing about coffee shop, it depends how you handle it, but I normally come in with a small person who likes a lot of sugar, and I literally, if I don't have it prepped when I walk in the door, things just come out of my mouth. Has that ever happened to you? Like, you're thinking one thing. It's like in the pub when you go, Diet Coke please, and the next thing you know you've got a magnum of Prosecco. In a coffee shop I find like the spotlight's on me, and I'm literally just looking at the menu and my head's whirling, and it can really be quite dangerous to, if it's a danger zone for you, it really can open imagine a door that is very hard to shut, can't it?
Yeah. So in preparation for this podcast, we're going to kind of look at some of the stats. Cineworld did an amazing survey about tipping point, because alcohol is a big thing. That, you know, when we go Christmas parties, many of us haven't had the Christmas parties, the Christmas that we've wanted for a couple of years. So how do we enter that in the right frame of mind? And also, I've been kind of reading up, because obviously, Anna, you know this stuff. Like, I've looked at on the coffee shops feature online.
Yeah,
I've been reading about danger zones, about trigger foods. I wanted to get my head in the kind of mindset of, I've worked so hard to get to Target this year. I don't want to get to January and suddenly have put on a stone. So how do I make this kind of stretch and flex and adapt to me having a bit of what I want, but also reining it in occasionally?
And I think you've hit the nail on the head there. This isn't about saying, oh my God, I've got to sit here with a black Americano and I can't have anything else. This is just about picking your choice and doing it in control for me. Because if I went now for the large hot chocolate with the whipped cream, that doesn't give me much movement for something that I know I'm going to want later on. So for me, it's better to not open that door. But for some people, they might be able to swap that up and do that. But it's having a plan for it rather than it happening to you. And how many times has a coffee shop happened to you? Because it's happened to me a lot. Suddenly I'm sat there with a millionaire shortcake and, you know, a 25 sin drink, and I'm thinking, does it really matter? Yeah, it does. So knowledge, like I always say, is the power, isn't it?
So here's the inspiration for this episode then. Michelle got in contact with us. You can too as well. You can contact us on Instagram at Slimming World Podcast. Tons of different videos and photos. You can see some of the videos of Ken, who we had a couple of weeks ago, Man of the Year 2021. He was showing us all of his books and his sticker. Like, yeah, just on the front of it. We've got that on our Instagram. There's loads of tips and little quotes on there for you. Or you can email us, slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. So here's what Michelle wrote to us. Hey girls, I would like to ask, how the heck do you navigate Christmas whilst not annoying everyone by eating healthy? Not irritating friends and family by not having their delicious food. I've done the whole I'm on Slimming World, to which I get, go on, treat yourself. I'd be interested in your strategies so I don't put on two stone. Here's mine so far. I've decided this year that Christmas does not start on the 1st of December. I will do an advent calendar of activity. I will be on plan when I can. Any other thoughts would be fabulous. Thank you, Michelle.
Do you know, I find it so interesting. So Daisy's got a lactose intolerance. You're vegan. They are dietary. Well, you made the dietary choice that you don't eat them. I don't feed Daisy milk because it will make her poorly. And no one would question that, right? No one would say to you, Claire, have a steak, have a steak, have a steak, have a steak. Well, we'd hope not, right?
No, they do, but yeah.
But they wouldn't question it like they do if you're trying to lose weight, do they? And I really always find it so
interesting. Do you think, or is that our interpretation? Sometimes I think that we put that on ourselves. We think everyone is looking at us thinking, what a weirdo, come on, just do it. No, is that our interpretation?
I know what I've faced is sometimes when they're like, oh, come on, Anna, have a bit. We're all having it. Come on, you're trying to be too good. And it's like, I often think that sometimes what we show is a reflection of what other people aren't doing with weight loss.
Totally.
So actually, the reason that you get these comments is because they've realised they've eaten 14 mince pies and that you haven't. The way I handle that is I just don't make a big deal of it. That's what I'm having, and that's what I'm having.
Well,
and I think that's how I handle it. I don't know what you do.
I'd also question that. My interpretation was a lot of people would be like, yeah, go on, because I was that person.
Well, yeah.
I was that absolute idiot who'd be like, what are you doing? Oh, come on, get a shot. Just have a shot. I'd be that idiot.
Yeah.
But actually, when I started saying, you know what, I'm not drinking, I'm just going to have a Diet Coke, other people were like, oh yeah, I will too.
Wow.
I was really interested when I went out with some of my friends who I thought were like kind of big drinkers or big cake eaters. If I said, do you know what, I'm actually all right, I'm not going to have a dessert today, my old self would have fell off the seat in shock. But some of my friends might be like, yeah, actually, I'm full. I went out at the weekend with some friends. We didn't have dessert. We didn't even ask for the dessert menu because we were full. And they didn't question that. They were like, no, that's a good point, actually. No, we don't want dessert either. And I was really interested. It broke down my perceptions of what other people would say to me, it wasn't always the truth. So don't settle on that.
Yeah, I think Christmas, though, brings out something in people.
I think more than ever this year, you know?
Yeah, and I think Christmas is such a time where there is so much more food and there's so many things going on that it does sometimes bring things out in people. And also, it depends if it's older generation or not, but they take it as an offence sometimes, you know? My grandma used to bring out all these treats, and if we weren't having them, she was offended. So I always try and go into this is I'm going to try and please myself and no one else. And I know that sounds really selfish, but like we often say, you do have to be selfish. Actually, I'm really sorry, Linda, if you get a bit offended that I don't want a mince pie with whipped cream, but actually I'm making the choice not to. It just depends where your head's at, because if your head's in a good space, like today we've walked in here and we've been focused, but if I had been in a different space and I'd gone, come on Claire, have a nut chocolate, you may have done something different as
no,
well.
No, I just wouldn't do it in front of you. Yeah. Why would I do it in front of a consultant? Come on. I mean, I might drive around the car park she leaves and then come back and then go and get the cake and secret eat it in my car. No, I'm not really. No, but I wouldn't do it in front of you.
Why?
I'm always conscious about when I go out with you what I'm going to eat.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
No, but that's why I like hanging out with you. This is the thing, because I hang out with loads of people who steer me off in the wrong direction. But with you, I'm like, oh, it's all right. I'm with Anna because... And I made sure I ate my banana before I came here because I knew you'd be like, fill up on free food. So I filled up on free food in my car on the way so that when I walked in here, I at least had something in my belly and I had a strong strategy because I was stood next to you that I was going to pick something that I knew what the sins was before. I mean, I've got to do it textbook if I'm with you.
God, this is like
so everybody needs an Anna to go to a coffee shop with. That's what we've discovered.
This is like the members that run away from me in the supermarket. Can I just say, if you ever see me in a supermarket, I ain't looking in a trolley, love. I'm just trying to get me dinner. But it's so you needed a good influence with you. Is that what you're saying? Right, okay. But I think
I'd like to say that I was strong enough that I could make these choices as an adult on my own. But it does help.
It does,
no, I think this is part of what we're saying about these strategies of, you know what, we are going to go out with people who I don't know, I go out with Matt and he can eat 4-5 courses and it doesn't do anything. Where is it on your body?
Yeah, he's got hollow legs, isn't he?
He's pooed it out instantly. The rest of us are like, it's still stuck on the side of my hip.
I look for 3 years stuck to me. Yeah. No, but I think you're very right. There are certain situations where people will pull you into that melee of, you know, sugar and fat, and there's other people that won't. I think it's about really knowing yourself and knowing what you really truly want to enjoy. Like, I just think we're in here. Is it really something we want to go and spend 100 sins on? Nah, not really. There are far nicer things that we could do. It's all about the choice power, isn't it? Like, actually, I'm choosing to feel really good on Christmas Day, lay across that grand piano. And actually, I know that a cake and a hot chocolate in here isn't getting me any closer to that. However, I have had many times where I've thought, you know, I don't care about the piano, give me the cake. But I always believe in knowing what you're going to get. So I know the sins of everything in here, right? Because I spend so much time in here, so that I know I'm not caught off. And actually looking at one of those cakes and thinking that's 39 sins, it's not worth it to me. But I know if I didn't, I would do the 8 sin Anna situation, right? I was telling my group about this on last week. I just used to look at everything and go 8 sins, because it was much easier to give it a sin value than actually look it up.
That is so true.
8 sins from bottom of a second.
And how many of us really look it up before we put it in our mouth?
Yeah, or look it up at all. But actually what the guesstimating does, appeases the fact that you feel like I'm actually doing it and allows you to have it. Because what we don't really want to know is the sin values, because we're worried if we know we're then going to have to make a decision we don't want to make.
Yes.
And actually it's about saying, do you know what, I'm choosing to want to lose weight, or at Christmas I'm choosing not to gain any weight or stay in control. Actually, to do that I need the plan and I need to know what's going on, and that's how I handle the festive season. It's not ever saying no, it's saying, is this worth it right now? Like, I think there is a mince pie in here that's going to cost me 32 sins. I will have one of those the week of Christmas, but I won't start like this lovely lady was saying on the first. Because you open that door, oh my God, by Christmas Day, where are you at? You're a stone heavier.
Do you know, like, in previous years we had like Christmas baubles, haven't we?
Yeah.
My Christmas wish is,
yeah.
And like my Christmas plan is, you know, on the 1st of January I want to feel like. I think too many of us don't finish those sentences in November, which is when we really should be writing down what those intentions are.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean about this hoping. I suppose I hadn't really, my on the 1st of January, I would like to still be in my target range.
Exactly.
Now, that's quite a brave thing to say out loud, because you're like, oof, that's like, am I really going to be able to do that? I'm not sure. Do I want to do that? Like,
you do want to do that.
There's a lot of things that could tip me off. There's a lot of emotional things. There's a lot of travel. There's a lot of seeing people. There's going out, like networking events. Can I honestly do that? Then you kind of, already I'm starting to doubt. But I've written it down, and that, the next step is, okay, so what does next week look like? What does the week after? It's kind of looking at almost 6 weeks of writing down, I suppose, of, okay, so I'm out that week three times. I'm out that week twice.
Yeah. So what I'll be giving to my group very shortly and working through alongside what we're doing is to colour code their December, their late November, early December, which is looking at what are the meals that you know are easy, you know, like a, I don't know, a Tuesday dinner. What are the ones that are easy and are going to be green? What are the ones that need a bit more thought and a bit more flexibility? And what are the ones, you know, potentially could be dangerous? Because the plan and knowing where you're at is the key thing. And I always go back to the fact, yes, it may be tedious, it may be laborious, but actually it's a really effective way to make sure you're in control. And flip it on your head, think about what you can have, not about what you're choosing not to have. Because that's where we struggle, when you sit there and you go, but he's having this and he's having that. Well, actually, I'm having a lovely hot drink. It just hasn't got 987 sins in it. Because if we tell our subconscious constantly that we're losing out, this is rubbish, this is rubbish, this is rubbish, I can't, I can't, I can't, what does the subconscious do? It blows out the other sides and eats 10 mince pies, doesn't it? So my Christmas strategy is always one of a little bit of flexibility, but with knowledge. Also, really looking at January. I don't want to get to January and then have to spend till April losing what I put on in December, which had taken me 3 months to lose the time before that. Do you see?
Yep.
And we forget that. The thing about it, what happens at Christmas, I always think about it like a bad ex, right? It comes in all showered, smelling gorgeous, looking handsome, fools you that it's going to be different this time, and then bang, and it's not. So it's looking at what... Sorry.
What the hell?
Do you know when you just... It lures you in, doesn't it, Christmas? It makes you feel like... go on, I deserve it, everyone else is doing it, I should do it, this time's going to be different, I can control it. But when you've got a trigger food, what's your trigger food? One that springs to mind.
Cake in coffee shops.
Okay, now what happens when you encounter a cake in a coffee shop?
I eat it as quickly as possible, throw away the wrapper and pretend that it didn't happen, and put 8 sins on my food diary. Okay.
So what a trigger food is, and this is a really important, or alcohol, is something that once you start with it, it's very, very difficult to stop. Or I find in my world, it triggers me onto something else. So really identifying, actually, is the mince pie something that is going to bode well for me this week? Because actually, if I have one mince pie, does it step into 2 mince pies and then a chocolate log? And then when I've had a chocolate log, I drink a bottle of Baileys. Actually, am I better to say, do you know what, I'm not going to have the mince pie, I'm going to have X instead, because I don't have an emotional relationship to that. I was talking to my group the other week about, I've never met a member that comes into a group and goes, oh my God, I had a nightmare with some broccoli and some chickpeas, I couldn't put it down. But what I do here is actually the cake, the sugar, the fat, it snowballs, doesn't it? So it's just about being self-aware. You know, if you had a food you're allergic to, but you didn't eat, you wouldn't ever contemplate eating it. But we do contemplate our triggers, don't we?
Yeah.
Because what do you love about cake?
I mean, it's not even like it's a treat. It's almost just like it's the default. I come, I get a coffee, I have a cake with some coffee. It's just what I do.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I think is interesting when I read about the trigger foods, is how it's almost like kind of subconscious, and it's a default kind of, exactly what you were saying is, I walk to a fast food chain and out comes out what I always order, and that's what I always have, and it's a medium, and it's definitely a diet version of the drink.
I mean, you'd never get a full sugar drink, would you?
Oh my God, no. But, you know, it's kind of, I suppose, yeah, thinking about that. And I suppose, as you say, going to that coffee shop and putting a pause and kind of really getting the app out and really scanning.
Yeah.
Maybe scan everything, write everything in and think, right, what is a plan A? I'm really on it week. What do I have on that? Those week when I go to the coffee shop? What about if I've got a few extra sins? What would I have on that plan B? But I think you're right. Knowing what your why is, writing down what your intention is, because if you've got that on a, like I had my bauble in my wallet, you know, screensaver on your phone, and you see that and you stop and pause and think, right, before I put this cake in my mouth, What is my intention? I want to still be at Target in January. Is this situation really going to help me get to that point? Yeah. Perhaps not. I don't need to do that now.
But also, I'm a massive believer in not making yourself feel too restricted. So actually, is there a swap you can make? Like, I know in here, they do a very small version of something. So when I want a hot chocolate, I get the very small version of it because I know that's given me the little hit. So making some swaps around the sins. Actually, if you want a cake, is there a cake that you can get that was in within your sins? Or is it about sharing it rather than saying, oh, do you know what? I could well have a black tea and a black coffee, because that's lovely. But then being aware, if I get too restrictive, is that another trigger? Because I might leave the coffin shop only having had the black coffee, but then do I go and get home and eat 14 of something else?
Even like the little biscuit, and I think we said this on the previous episode, biscuit is always there, and you're like, boom, and you just pop that in your mouth without even thinking. It doesn't even go on the food diary. But you know what? It said on one of the features, it pulled out about in coffee shops, hot chocolates. And so it had like one of the branded signature hot chocolates with whole milk and whipped cream. A venti is 25 sins.
Yeah.
And then it said, a swap here, a hot chocolate fix, a wiser choice is a classic hot chocolate, short, with skim milk, and that's 7 sins, and you get your whipped cream too.
Yeah.
I mean, but even things like Mocha's, a blend of coffee, chocolate, and steamed milk, they could be as many as 23 sins.
We've got higher ones actually come out this year. There's a lot of speciality ones, and there's one I saw yesterday that was 39 and a half sins.
Wow.
So a large...
And you just think it's only liquid.
Yeah, it's only liquid, a bit of whipped cream. I mean, look at those. Look at the size of that, right?
Next to us, there's someone who's got like a bacon sandwich, and they are massive hot chocolates. But is your mouth salivating looking at that?
I'm turning my head because I want a jumper. But you see, now that's cool. But
I always think the cups that they serve that in, the handles look like ears on the side of someone's head.
But, you know, is it like saying, okay, do I want that little fix? Well, actually, I can do that for 7 sins. Actually, it's going to cost me a lot less. And that's within my plan. But it's knowing the type of person you are. Like, for me, I come in and I don't look at the menu. I know that menu off by heart. But if I start reading it, I'm going to get absolutely waylaid by an orange hot chocolate with whipped cream, dusted with this, this, and this. Actually, if I just come in and I say my order, another thing I started to do is a lot of high street coffee shops, you can pre-order on an app, and I come in and I collect it, so I don't even have to get into that mindset.
Even as you queue, let's just think about this as rational adults, okay? There are, you queue up next to all these treats for a reason. You know what I mean? Like, it is a danger thing. It's not an accident that they put the cake cabinet where you queue. It is there for a reason. You don't have to look at it.
Yeah,
you know, and you can choose. You could say, well, I would have that. And what was the thing that you said? I remember I do it in bins. If I look in the bin, then I'd see what the sins are in the bin. You could just, for a laugh, have a look and say, if I had that piece of cake, how many sins would that be? Type it in the app whilst you're in the queue and have a bit of a, how many sins could I have had today?
And again, it's,
educate yourself.
Yeah, and again, it's like, okay, is that something I want to factor in? Because I'll never forget when we interviewed Margaret. She went, if you want the chips, have the chips. Factor it in. Don't tell yourself I can't, because it's the I can't, I shouldn't, I'm bad, that makes you go, right, I'll have 4. Yeah, and it's also, when you hit these coffee shops, knowing, like,
hit the actual coffee.
You know, when we've come in here today, I've eaten my breakfast, you've had your banana, I've got my lunch in my bag. I'm not hitting this ravenous, because if I'd come in here hungry today, oh my God, game changer. I would have licked the counter, I would have had a cake, I would have had a sandwich. So actually knowing when you're going to these coffee shops, are you going just for a nice chat and a coffee? Because actually we could have drunk water today and it would have been fine. Do you know what I mean? Or are you hitting this as a space to eat, because this might not be the best choice if you're going to eat, you know.
So, just thinking around, it's like, I can't remember if I said on a podcast, but I saw the meme the other day that said, if you're hungry, you'd eat, and you've got an apple, you'd eat it. If you don't want the apple, you're probably not actually really hungry.
I always say this to Daisy, and she's like, no, mommy, I don't want the apple. But it's so true. Are you emotionally hungry? Are you wanting a nice little fix? Because I think the thing, we've got into a very big coffee culture, haven't we? Which is, oh, do you know what? I do this on the way to work, or I do this with the kids, or I do this. Actually, how many of us have come in because we actually are really thirsty and need a drink? No, we've come in because it's a nice thing to do. It's an enjoyable thing to do. So just recognising, And another thing to think is, am I doing this when I'm out Christmas shopping as well? Because this might be a pit stop. Actually knowing what's around you pit stop-wise, that might be a better alternative. And knowing things like, you know, we're in this place and I know these little jugs are 50 mils. So actually that's a safe bet for me, because if I'm left in control of pouring my own milk, like, well, hey.
That's where lattes get dangerous.
Oh. Lattes are dangerous. They really, really are. And again, a lot of people say, well, this is my healthy extra. But like you found out, actually, the oat milk you were having was not your healthy extra, was it?
No, and I looked into that, and you know, Slim and Will's official guidance is, you know what, if it's not affecting your weight loss, that's great. Yeah. But what they kind of suggest is maybe for some coffee shops, just thin it. Yeah. And just cover yourself.
I would always say that to someone, because actually, well, we know in here the cups are a certain measurement. If you were going into maybe like a, you know, an own business or something, we don't know how generous they might be and everything. So just bear that in mind, and just, I always think about a coffee shop. If this is something you want and this is something you do regularly, if you did the cake and the coffee once or twice a week, is that getting you your weight loss? Probably not, because you could easily, I'm just looking over at another table thinking about what they're eating, and I know that each one of those is about 120 sins for what they've got going on, which is cool. But if I did that twice in a week,
what, it's like a cheese sandwich, you think?
Yeah, that's, and the drink, no, and the drink, and the drink, got, and the chocolate they've got on the side, and what's on the top is approximately about that. Now I know if I did that a couple of times a week, there's no way I'd lose weight. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, or we kid ourselves. Do you know, one of the things, and I suppose if people are we'll talk about alcohol in a second, because I know a lot of people, it won't just be coffee shops, it'll be going eating out, it'll be drinking, yeah. It'll be what they're eating when they're drinking. We'll get into that in a second. I suppose part of what I've really realised with coffee shops is what's going on subconsciously is, oh, but you're not drinking, therefore you've got loads of extra sins to have on you in a coffee shop, it's fine, you know. And so I kind of almost, because I've reduced the alcohol, I've put,
totally.
I'm disguising it. Yeah. And we know a few people who've been doing Sober October have said, oh, you know, why isn't my weight loss coming off as quickly as I thought? Subconsciously, I recognise that I have transferred my sins into this place and kind of entered into a bit of a denial.
Yeah, and you're not alone in that. I think so many people do. It's only a coffee, it won't matter. And you know what? I always think singly, it wouldn't matter. But when this is a habit, it does matter.
And I could easily say that I go coffee shops maybe 3 times a week, oh, 4 times
easily.
A week.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
then
yeah.
You start to think, is that a build-up? But anyway, actually, it's about being informed. It's about knowledge, checking out knowledge, educating. Tipping points, okay. So
talk to me. I know it well.
Tipping points is something that you can look this up on Life or Online if you type that in. Your consultants will know about this too, but Slimming World, Slimming World conducted this survey a few years ago, and it talked about when we reach this tipping point, you know, for some people it might be one glass of wine, for others it might be three, and the fact that sometimes our inhibitions weaken along with our intentions. So once we go past that, here's the kind of stats that they found in the survey. On average, yeah, we go on to drink over 1,400 extra calories. So that's basically like 2 bottles of wine. We eat almost 3,000 extra calories, because we're going to obviously go for all the high-fat, alcohol-soaking late-night snacks like your chips, your pizza, your burger, kebabs. And then the next day, you know, when we're feeling a bit awful and hungover, then what we're going to choose to eat there? Most people will probably choose the high-fat, high-sugar foods that add up to another 2,000 calories. So let's just, in that 24-hour period, on average, they worked out that's equivalent to 320 extra sins, which could easily add up to a weight gain of 2 pounds plus. And how many of us really write down? I remember once I did, when I went a night out, had an app, I was logging.
Oh, yeah.
This is where I knew I wasn't quite there with my relationship with alcohol. I was logging how much I was drinking. But the next day, you can't remember how it ended. So you just kind of add a few on extra.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, they were talking in this article about the average tipping point for men, okay, was, in the survey, was 9.3 units. Put that in English, that's about 3 glasses of wine or just under 4 pints of beer. For women, that fell to just 2.5 glasses of wine. But most of us, well, more than half of us, pass that tipping point every weekend.
And do you know what's terrifying? And I remember when this came out, I'm a real visual learner. So they worked out that that's the equivalent to 36 packets of crisps in calories. And I remember my table and group, I filled with 36 packets of crisps, right? And I remember asking my group, would you think that if you ate 36 packets of crisps this week, you would lose weight? And they were all like, no. But would you think if you went out to drink and then you ate what you had when you were hungover that you'd lose weight? And everyone expected to lose weight because we somehow think that it doesn't damage us.
It doesn't count because it's liquid. Yeah,
exactly.
Just wee it out.
And actually, but you know, putting it in a form that your brain goes, oh my goodness, for me, that was a turning point because 36 packets of crisps is a lot, isn't it? And I think what happened, what used to happen to me and I watch with members is it is that kind of, oh, I don't care. Weight loss, who, what? Be fine, I'll get back on it tomorrow, I'll get some grilled chicken in. That was always my response. So it's really important you know your tipping point.
Well, and that was only saying about a 24-hour period, but often we kind of say, oh, well, I've wrecked the whole week now, I'll just go back and weigh in and then start again after weighing.
And in my mind, a £2 weight gain used to be like a trestle table's worth of food. Like, actually...
you are visual.
Do you know what I mean? But that's... To me, I couldn't understand how this drinking and this eating on a couple-of-day period could account to that. And it was when I understood, actually... What happened to me that was most dangerous was the fact that I didn't care. I lost my inhibition. I lost my inhibition thinking about the drinking, so I just drank even more, and then I just didn't care about the food. So when I used to drink and still lose weight, it just was a really finite plan. It was a finite plan of the alcohol I had. It was also a finite plan of the food I was going to eat and being prepped. Because actually, there is a way to go and drink alcohol and still lose weight.
Yeah, we've both done it.
Yeah, but it's not something you can do on a whim. Is what I worked out. It's also, you know, like in here, we come in with a strategy of like, we didn't go to the cake stand. What I always used to have to plan was that I couldn't go past the takeaway. Because if I went past the takeaway and had a drink, I'd be in there with chips and cheese and a garlic naan. And do you know what I mean? It would
all go. There's so many fakeaways now. I mean, like, we made a fake, like, kind of doner kebab and chips and sweet potato fries. And we were out until quite late and we got in. And that was what we put in the microwave.
Yeah,
and actually, you look forward to it as well.
Yeah. And I think it's about saying, okay, if I want to still do this, how am I going to do this differently? Because how many of us have tried to shoehorn old habits, old lifestyles into weight loss? It doesn't work, does it? So this isn't about saying don't have festive fun. This is just knowing, actually, for the top of my head, I think a well-known bottle of Irish cream liqueur is about 144 sins for a bottle, right? I used to know one of them on Christmas Day. And then the bag of peanuts at 75 sins. It's just about knowing and making that educated choice and thinking about, actually, is that worth it? Because to me... A lot of what I did was just because I did it, not because I wanted to do it. It just was, that's what happened. Do you know what I mean? And you get swept along in it, don't you, I think?
I think also, like, for me, one of the things that I wasn't really upfront with myself about was Christmas. Also, there's a lot of ghosts of Christmas past, of the people that were there and how it used to be and... Big family Christmases with everybody all living in the same country and all together.
And
actually, I hadn't realised that I kind of was quite sad that wasn't the reality anymore. And I was kind of using Christmas to kind of drink and eat my way through that sadness.
Yeah.
And actually, rather than kind of taking control with both reins and saying, but look at what you do have, look at who you do have, and enjoying that rather than trying to avoid dealing with the baggage of the past. That was a big kind of unlock of my mindset to kind of understand, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, do you know, last Christmas was the first Christmas since my dad died that I was able to listen to Christmas songs. Christmas was my dad's favourite time of year, and I just remember this overwhelming urge to want to eat when I heard these Christmas songs, because it was that block the pain, block the pain, block the pain. And actually facing that was really hard, but the moment I did, it freed up not eating that emotion. But it's almost, I think that's a process that you have to come around to it, acknowledging, oh God, this is why I'm doing it.
And almost, what I find is I'm like kind of overeating in advance at anticipation of that feeling's going to hit me, I'm not ready for it, So it's almost like staring down, what is your fear?
Why are you doing this?
What is this? Write it down along with your kind of why and what you want to do, write down what your fear is, acknowledge it, stare it in the face, and then you're ready to put your plan in place.
Yeah, and also just knowing that you may be in a cycle with family and friends where you just do things because it's Christmas, because they do. And I think it's having that courage to say, actually...
Well, this year could be different. This year we all get to reset. Last year was a reset anyway, but this year you can start new... like traditions.
That's what Phil and I decided. This Christmas is going to be about new traditions, healthier, happier ones, we both said, because actually how many Christmases have we sat with indigestion and can't wait to go and get some fruit and vegetables? So actually about feeling good. Is it about factoring in some walks? Is it about going and saying, actually I'm going to cook some really beautiful food, optimised food for my family, actually, and it's the company I want? It's just forward thinking. Planning is that good old boring thing, but planning is the key to weight loss success. Also, asking for help. So it's going to be a lot of things coming up in group. Talk to your consultant, talk to your group. Get on Lifeline online because there are so many beautiful features on there. If you type in Christmas, there is something that's going to help with how to cook, how to handle it emotionally, how to handle the booze. There's a lot of information there for you.
Yeah, use it. Yeah. Use it and acknowledge what is the thing that could trip you up. I think, you know, Michelle, you really hit the nail on the head there, that you'd already started to think about some of your strategies, which is really great. And the fact that you sent us this email in October, even better.
Yeah.
So in the next couple of weeks, we've got some listeners' questions coming up. We've also got an episode in a few weeks, which is The Greatest Gift to Yourself, which is going to just get more of us thinking about how can we, you know, celebrate, not necessarily treat or reward. We're trying to not always think about that in terms of food, but how do we celebrate? How do we kind of, you know, have a plan in place of how we want support and how can we, you know, look after ourselves in that? So we'll be doing that in a few weeks. We're going to have we're going to put our thinking caps about how we can best do that.
Yes, because I think it's knowing that we are in a reward cycle within our lives, and Christmas makes that even more highlighted, doesn't it? And it's finding a reward system that isn't food or alcohol based.
All about the company. Think about the company and the places that you go in, perhaps the people and the places that you didn't get to go to last year, and really sit there and pause and like have a bit of a, oh my God, I'm here.
Do you know, as a family, we have the most jam-packed Christmas calendar of all the things that we didn't get to do last year. And I was telling Daisy, and she says, I've got a headache thinking about how much time I'm spending with Father Christmas. So it is definitely a time to go and enjoy. It really, really is.
Well, we hope that we've kind of given you some things to think about. Share with us your kind of ideas, your thoughts about how are you approaching this. Do you want to kind of send us your power statement, your why statement for your Christmas? Do you want to send us your intention so that you put it in writing and you put it out to the ether? You can send that to us, slimandworldpodcast@gmail.com, or put it on a post-it note and tag us in your photo on @slimandworldpodcast.
Someone said just a little thing that they set reminders throughout their day of their Christmas intention. So as you all know, mine is to lie on a grand piano in a very beautiful outfit. So actually having that pop up 5 or 6 times a day at your wobble zones, it's like, get on the grand piano, Anna. So I think I'm going to go and set that in my phone right now.
Well, whatever you get up to, go have a cup of coffee yourself. And we will catch up with you very soon.
Bye for now.
Bye.